John in his gospel reveals Jesus to us as the true light of the world. And today he tells us, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. My dear family of God, Jesus uses these two imageries to remind us all that unless we become true to our calling, we render ourselves useless for the kingdom of God. You are the salt of the earth. As salt, Christ's disciples are to season the world and to preserve it with peace. Mark chapter 9, verses 50. And not just with peace, but with gracious speech and words. Colossians chapter 3, verses 4. My dear family of God, Jesus invites us today to reconsider our primary vocation as his disciples. As light of the world, we are called upon to bear witness to Christ and his message. Beloved, these two images being presented to us have a link with the Old Testament. When we read the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verses 19, God revealing to the household of Aaron and his descendants, as a priestly family, said to them, I have made a covenant of salt with you. So from this Old Testament, salt is associated with a covenant of priesthood. Why? Salt is a symbol of preservation, a symbol of permanence, a symbol of purification. That when God said to Aaron and his descendant that I have made a covenant of salt with you, it meant that their priesthood would be a lasting priesthood, and they are called upon to a life of holiness. That in serving God faithfully, God himself would become their portion. For they will never receive a portion of the promised land when it was being demarcated among the 11 tribes of Israel. And that's why the psalmist celebrates this lot of the priestly class beautifully in Psalm 16, when the psalmist prayed that the measuring rod has fallen for me on a present portion, on a present soil, for the Lord is the cup of my portion. Yes, this is what God revealed to the household of Aaron, that he would establish a covenant of a lasting priesthood with him and his descendant. Not only that, again, salt is also associated with covenant of kinship. In the second book of Chronicles, chapter 13, verses 5, when Jeroboam wanted to kill Rehoboam, God reminded him, do you not know that I have made a covenant of salt with my servant David, that his dynasty would never come to an end? And that was the promise of eternal kingship made to David in the book, second book of Psalm chapter 7. And so salt in this Old Testament passages indicate a covenant that endures forever with God's people. It's therefore not surprising that in the traditional baptismal rite, salt was one of the elements used in the administration of the sacrament of baptism. Bread salt, a piece of it, was put on the tongue of the person to be baptized. And that symbolized his share in the wisdom of God. That symbolized his state of purification and holiness and preservation of the soul from corruption, from every spiritual decay. That the baptized, having received the salt, has been seasoned and his life is protected forever to endure in the presence of God. Beloved, today we do not have this right anymore. But again, the mission of sharing in Christ as priest and king is communicated to us in the second anointing with sacred chrism. Just as salt symbolized covenants of kinship and priesthood, in baptism, having been anointed with the sacred chrism, we come to share in the priestly and kingly mission of Christ. Again, in the sacrament of baptism, today we still make use of light. When the candle to be presented to the sponsors or the parents of the child being baptized, that candle is lit from the Paschal candle and presented to the parents or the sponsors with the explanation that the baptized has come to receive the light of Christ and sharing in the light of his glorious salvation. This child must be raised up to walk always in the newness of God's light of salvation, so as to avoid the darkness of sin and evil. Beloved, light again was also associated with the primary vocation of Israel. Israel, as we read from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 6, and again, chapter 49, verse 6, was called upon to become a light to the nations, that Israel would reveal the truth and the light of God, their Savior, to all nations, that through them they will all walk to the radiance of his glory. And so Israel had that primary vocation of witnessing to Christ, of witnessing to God in his truth and justice, so as to bring others to God's salvation. Beloved in Christ, today all of us, Jesus shares his mission with us. But what is so interesting with these two elements of salt and light is that in their use, they all end up dying to themselves and losing their very essence. And that points to the mission of the cross, the sacrificial dimension of Christ's life. When we put salt into food, in order to give it a taste, the salt has to dissolve itself. And you can no longer trace it unless you go through the process of evaporation in order to get your salt back. Other than that, the salt will dissolve in the food and you can never trace it anymore. And that is the dying aspect of this mission that Jesus entrusts to us. Being called as his disciples, we cannot surpass the master but to go the way of the cross. And for the fact of being disciples, persecutions would come on our way. And it's so interesting to observe that Jesus pronounced these words, Jesus, after he had exhorted the disciples in the Beatitudes, blessed are you who are persecuted for the sake of the kingdom and for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward shall be great in heaven. Yes, those who offer public witness to Christ and his message become the target of the world's hatred. However, if they endure to the very end, they will greatly be rewarded. It's just after this exhortation that Jesus pointed out to them, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Which meant that they are to walk in the path of Christ, having the goal of the cross in mind. And so as disciples, each day we are called upon to learn to die to ourselves, that a new life will spring out of our death. And this is what we come to celebrate every day on the altar. Beloved, after the consecration of the bread and wine, the priest will take the consecrated bread, the large host, and break it. A symbol of Christ breaking himself on the cross. And it is a message to all those communicants, those who are about to communicate with Christ, to always break themselves in order to offer a worthy sacrifice in imitation of Christ the Redeemer. And that is our Christian calling. And that's why we cannot run away from suffering. And when we endure our own portion of Christ's passion, in the words of Mother Teresa, anyone who suffers and shares in Christ's passion is like being kissed by Christ himself. And being kissed by Christ's passion, you also share in the glory of his resurrection. And this is the faith teaching of the church on redemptive suffering. We share in Christ's passion so that we can have a share in his glorious resurrection. My dear family of God, today we are being reminded of this vocation. And so in the words of Isaiah today, if I am to paraphrase it, if we are to die to ourselves, new life will spring out of ourselves for those who are suffering in life. And so Isaiah invites us, share your bread with the hungry, clothe the naked. I describe this passage of Isaiah as the corporal works of mercy of Isaiah, inviting us to attend to the physical needs of the less fortunate in our midst. And it is by doing this that every day we learn to die to ourselves. We empty ourselves in the spirit of self-denial in an imitation of Christ, embracing the mystery of the cross. Beloved, we cannot rejoice on Easter Sunday without the experience of Good Friday. We can't go into heaven without going through the path of suffering. It's part of our lives as Christians and as disciples. We pray in this Mass that God will always give us the grace to withstand every suffering that comes on our way as we identify it with Christ's passion on the cross, so that we can embrace that glorious state of his resurrection. My dear family of God, St. Paul tells us that as long as we engage ourselves in good deeds, we communicate and reveal the presence of the Spirit in our lives. And so in the words of Isaiah, being invited to share with the less fortunate, our works of charity speaks to the presence of the Spirit. And today he tells us that The gospel that he preached is of no human origin, but of divine origin. For he, Saint Paul, did not preach the gospel with human wisdom, but with the power of the Spirit, that their faith will not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of the Spirit. Yes, every good deed, everything that we do in witnessing the value of the gospel becomes a symbol of the presence of God's Spirit dwelling in us. Today we pray that the Lord who has called upon us today, reminding us of our primary vocation as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we will truly radiate the glory of God to those who dwell in the darkness of sin and evil, that coming to the radiance of the light of our Christian life, they will also embrace the values of Christ's gospel, that all of us will live to share one day in that eternal kingdom that God has prepared for us. May we go forth as people baptized and sent, sharing in the priestly and kingly mission of Christ by virtue of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.